I was with some friends this week, and we found ourselves playing a game called Who Can Remember the Most Stories from the Bible? Maybe not how I thought I would be spending my Thursday evening, but anyway, that's where we were. And we went round in a circle and we were trying to remember who could, you know, guess the most, who could remember and call to mind the most stories. What I found interesting about this is what sticks in our mind from the Bible. One of the guys who I was with was particularly surprised at the amount of the Bible that's specifically about Jesus' life. He imagined that the Gospels took up a much larger portion of the Bible based on his experiences of Sunday school. Unsurprisingly, that evening, the stories Jesus told were the ones my friends remembered best of all. Yesterday morning at Pullock's Hill, we met as a group in the village hall, and we were looking at this book, Jesus 100. And we began by introducing ourselves and reflecting on our own relationship with Jesus. And it was clear as we were going round how many people's lives had been shaped by stories told in Sunday school. So going back to what in the Bible is specifically about Jesus. Well, if we think about the New Testament, there's a huge amount written of the impact Jesus had on people and how they felt called to act and respond as a result of their encounter with him, both during Jesus' life and for some, specifically Paul, after his ascension. When some people encountered Jesus, it changed them enormously. When they put their faith in Jesus Christ, it changed their entire way of thinking, their whole sense of purpose for their life, and they were determined to share that with others. So what about in our gospel reading today? What of those 10 lepers who come towards Jesus, standing at a distance, but still reaching out, making the first move, asking for Jesus' mercy? Because I think it's interesting to note that they don't ask for justice or for some explanation. And they're not even specifically asking for healing. They simply ask for God's mercy. We talk a lot about Jesus encountering people. As I've said before, we're working through Luke's gospel at the moment and thinking about all these different conversations Jesus had with different people on his way to Jerusalem. So we think a lot about the impact he had on their lives. But time and time again in the gospels, we actually see the people making the first step. They're the ones who go towards Jesus, daring to ask, "Can you help me? Can you help someone I love?" But more often than not, simply, "Have mercy on me. Show me you care. Show me someone cares." And often these are totally unlikely characters. Think of the bleeding woman, at that time considered unclean, prohibited from entering the synagogue, yet dared to touch the cloak of Jesus. The rich and powerful Roman centurion who risked humiliation to dare to ask Jesus for healing. And the Canaanite woman who challenged Jesus but first asked him to show mercy on her daughter. We see people whom others had deemed unworthy, insignificant, had rejected, daring to ask Jesus to show them some kindness. And there's two things there, isn't there? There's the people's courage and determination to go forward, to make the first move. And then there's Jesus' own posture. What must Jesus have been like to make people feel they could go to him? They could ask for what they wanted or what they needed. And then what's often the memorable part of this story is the emphasis on the ending of the story. The bit that's focused on in Sunday schools or school assemblies is that idea of gratitude. Jesus acknowledging the one who returns to thank him. That leper dares to ask for what he needs and then recognizing what he has received. I wonder if this can give us some sense of direction as to how we pray for ourselves, but also for others and for our world. Daring to ask for what we need and also recognizing what we receive. I wonder if we're often not very good at noticing or recognising what we have received, or recognising where God has been at work in our lives. There are a number of times in the Gospels when Jesus is challenged by the Pharisees to show them some sort of sign, to prove something. And time again, Jesus refuses to do this. Jesus' healing never comes from a desire to prove something, to prove that he's the Messiah or the Son of God. His one and only motive for healing people was compassion, to liberate people from their suffering. How does Jesus respond to this leper? He says, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. Jesus didn't think he had any monopoly over compassion or faith or miraculous cures. What he wanted to do was awaken that same compassion and faith in the people around him at the time and in us today. When we come to God in prayer, asking for what we want or what we need, we perhaps don't often see miraculous signs or miracles. Perhaps we're more used to, or we're more likely to experience nudges from God, or love and compassion from people around us. Sometimes the answer to our prayer comes in unexpected forms, or we don't quite get what we think we're asking for. There's a TV program on at the moment. It's called Blue Light. Don't know if any of you here have seen it or are watching it. It's a very good program. I'd recommend it. We're now in the third series, and it's a police drama set in Northern Ireland. And anyway, I won't go into the context of the story because that's not really relevant for what I'm going to say. But one of the scenes in an episode recently is a priest speaking to one of the police officers. And this priest says to the officer, "In this world, it's either faith or..." And then he used a word that I'm not going to use in this church, but it begins with sh and rhymes with right. So you get my idea. In this world, it's either faith or that. I believe there has to be some sort of intentionality about living by faith. We have to choose to live our lives by faith. Like the men who dare to ask Jesus to show mercy, and the one who recognises how Jesus has helped him. Having the courage to live a life motivated by faith. We have to choose whether our lives are motivated by our faith, or we can become too distracted and focused on the other. When we live our life prompted by faith, it can impact every aspect of our existence, our friendships, our relationships, our time, what we do with our money, our attitude towards life and health and uncertainty. When we have faith, we make decisions based on the humility, the acceptance and the compassion that we see in Jesus, rather than from a place of obligation or uncertainty or insecurity. The leper who comes back to Jesus to say thank you doesn't do it out of obligation or politeness. Because we learn that before he says thank you, he was praising God. The man is so moved by his newfound freedom that he responds in praise. So my question for you this morning is, what are you thankful for? What do you want to recognise that you have received this week? Or what do you want to recognise where God has been at work in your life this week? Let's pray. God, in whose heart is love and justice, show us this day whom we must love and what we should challenge or change in order that your will for the earth might be done. Increase our hope. Dispel our apathy. Inspire our imagination and deepen our commitment until we can become the signs of your kingdom for which we and others pray this day and every day. Amen.